So A.J. Jacobs is a journalist in New York, and he calls himself, or at least he called himself, a Jewish agnostic. And he decided to do a radical experiment. Most probably you've heard a TED talk about this or read his book. And the experiment was a year of living biblically. It has since become a book. A year of living biblically. So here was his experiment. He decided to follow every rule of the Bible literally for a year. Now, he's talking about the Old Testament, not the New. Remember, he's a Jewish agnostic. So the way he ate, talked, dressed, thought, and even related to his wife, he did it biblically. Some of the things that he talks are very thought-provoking, some comical. Like he decided to follow the rule of stoning an adulterer. So he went into a park one day, and he was dressed in these biblical garments, right? So people are coming to him and asking him what he's doing. And he says, well, I'm trying to follow the Bible literally, including stoning an adulterer. And the man said to him, well, I'm an adulterer. So he stoned him, not with stones. He says, the Bible does not say how big the stone should be. So he took pebbles, threw at this man. Of course, that man was not following the Bible lit for a year. He threw pebbles back at him, in any case. So some of those things are comical, right? Now, he did this because he wanted to find out if he was missing something. He said later in an interview that the hardest thing to do was avoiding the sins we commit every day. Like lying, small lies, gossiping, coveting. But the greatest lesson he learned was the power of behavior over thought. Many of us in the West are followers of the great philosopher Descartes, who said, I think, therefore I am. But Jacobs says that the opposite is even more powerful. He said that most of us underestimate the power that behavior has to shape thought. In other words, if you keep doing something, you'll begin to think that way. We always think thinking affects behavior. But he's saying behavior can shape thought. So this is what he writes. He says, it's astounding. I watch it happen to myself. For instance, I forced myself to stop gossiping, and eventually I started to have fewer petty thoughts to gossip about. I forced myself to help the needy and found myself becoming less self-absorbed. I even watched it happen with prayer. After a year of praying, I started to believe that there's something to the idea of sacredness. It was remarkable. So he says, if you want to become someone different, just start acting like the person you want to be. After a year of living biblically, now he calls himself not a Jewish agnostic, but a reverent agnostic. An agnostic with a sense of sacredness. Read this book sometime if you get the chance. Now, I find this very fascinating in relation to today's readings. I'm going to make 2 points about the readings, and the third point, I just want to briefly introduce the retreat that we had yesterday. I want the whole parish to be part of it. There were about 500 people over here for the retreat. Some of them are wearing our Merciful Discipleship shirts. But for those of who could not be here for various reasons, I just want to introduce the direction the parish is going to take in the coming year. And we'll even sing our theme song that we wrote ourselves for the retreat. So we'll do that for you in a minute, okay? But first of all, you know, Descartes said, the first point I'm going to make is, Descartes said, I think, therefore I am. How about we change that to, I do, therefore I am? Today's scripture readings are both about thinking and behavior. So what does Jesus say to Peter? Jesus says to Peter, you are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do. Somehow Peter has to learn to think like God would think. That's a tall order. But that's the challenge that Jesus places before Peter. And we ask ourselves, how do we begin to think differently? And I understand Jesus to say that learning is by doing. Learning is not by thinking, learning is by doing. Whoever wishes to come after me, listen, you simply have to do these three things. Deny yourself. Don't think about denying. Actually deny yourself. Take up your cross. There's nothing like taking it and walking with it. Sometimes we don't have too many choices, do we? Life throws curveballs at us, and sometimes we can fight all we want, but sometimes we just got to take it and walk with it. So Jesus is saying that one becomes a disciple not by thinking, but by doing. So it's not about thinking discipleship, it's about doing discipleship. And this is what I think is what James is trying to say in today's second reading when he says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? And then he concludes, so also faith of itself, if it does not have works, it is dead. You can think all you want about discipleship, but if you don't do it, you're dead. So if Descartes said, I think, therefore I am, Jesus and James are saying, I do, therefore I am. Secondly, Christianity. Christianity is a doing. The scene in today's gospel reading is one of the most poignant scenes in all of the gospels. This passage that we read, I love it, but it also scares me. Jesus had just told his disciples for the first time that his destiny is death at the hands of the religious leaders. Now please, if you can get into the mind of these disciples, and just walk their shoes just for a moment. Can you imagine the shock of the disciples? They had left everything. These guys were fishing. They probably had families. Peter certainly had a family. They left everything. And they followed after Jesus. For the first time, he tells them that his destiny is death. What do you think they feel? They actually joined Jesus to gain something. And Jesus says, you're going to lose it all. It's about losing. It's not about gaining. It's about losing. I can't imagine. If I was Peter, I would have said, darn it. I wish you'd told me this before. The shock. And just when there is no turning back, Jesus tells them that he will be killed, but tells them that their gain too lies in total self-denial. If they must save themselves, they must lose themselves. Very soon after his teaching on discipleship, Jesus would do exactly what he taught. So Jesus is about doing. He didn't say, okay, deny yourself, and then had a good time. Okay, I'm God, I'm taking off. He could have ascended before his crucifixion if he wanted. He's Son of God. But he does what he taught. He would deny his own self, be submissive to his Father's will, and lose his life on the cross. So, today, instead of Jesus' question, "Who do you say that I am?" how about the question to us is, "Who do you say you are?" It's very easy to answer the question, "Who do you say Jesus is?" But the question is different. Who do you say you are? How do we think about ourselves? If you and I say that we are Christians, if we say that we are disciples, then like Jesus, our actions must back it up. We simply have to take up the cross. We simply have to deny ourselves. We simply must radically follow Jesus. Because as James says, faith without works is dead. So yesterday we had our discipleship retreat, and as you probably have heard this me talk about this many times, Pope Francis has declared the coming liturgical year, starting December 8th, as a Jubilee of Mercy. And of course we meet for our annual discipleship retreat in September, so we decided that we will, you know, advance the theme for our own parish. So we have started yesterday our parish theme of merciful discipleship. There were about 500 people gathered over here, and Father Greg Hiley led us in reflecting on the meaning of the Pope Francis's declaration of the Jubilee of Mercy. Now there are two statements from, the Pope actually released a document called Misericordiae Vultus, the face of mercy. And in that document there are two sentences that I want to draw your attention to, okay? He says, first of all, Jesus Christ is the face of the Father's mercy. For a moment, just look at this crucifix, right? It's a very plain figure. Well, what does it mean that if I look at the face of Jesus and his entire life, from the time he was born till he died, if I looked at this crucifix and his life, the Pope says, this screams mercy. Jesus Christ, you want to know what mercy looks like? You know what God looks like? Look at Jesus. Second statement. The church has an endless desire to show mercy. God's mercy is endless. And the Pope is asking the church to become like Jesus. So the church has an endless desire to show mercy. So the Pope recommends the spiritual and corporal works of mercy as actions during this Jubilee. So if you really want to become merciful, I think the best way for us to do this is to do the spiritual and corporal works of mercy. Now, in the course of the year, we will lead you month by month through the corporal work and spiritual works of mercy. So we have a plan for the year. But right now I'm just introducing this whole thing. What are the corporal works of mercy? To feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, welcome the stranger, heal the sick, visit the imprisoned, and bury the dead. The spiritual works of mercy are to counsel the doubtful, instruct the ignorant, admonish sinners, comfort the afflicted, forgive offenses, bear patiently with those who do us ill, and pray for the living and the dead. Now these are all simple things that we can actually accomplish. Of course it says bury the dead does not mean you got to go and dig a grave. It simply could mean that you're at the funeral of somebody that you don't even know, praying for this person. Admonishing sinners does not mean we buy a cane and go about, you know, like this guy throwing pebbles at adulterers. That's not the point. How did Jesus admonish sinners? He had a conversation with them. He ate with them. He talked with them. He showed them God's mercy. So admonishing sinners does not mean putting on a high horse and getting on a high horse. It's really about the mercy of God. So, the coming year will be about actually doing discipleship. So we wrote a hymn for this retreat, and it's called The Mercy of God. So we thought that, I wish we had the words, but we didn't think about it till the last minute. So those of you who were here for the retreat yesterday, you're welcome to sing this with us, but for the rest of you, we are going to just sing the theme song and end this homily. There is a surprise element in the song, so watch out for that, okay? Those of you who were at the retreat, you know what I'm talking about, right? Okay. But listen to the words, okay? It's based on Psalm 103 and the parable of the prodigal son, okay? Do you know how far is heaven from the earth? Do you know how far the east is from the west? Do you know how far eternity is from now? Do you know? Do you know why God became like us? Do you know why we saw the face of God? Do you know why a cross became our hope? It's the mercy, of God. It's the mercy, of God. As far as the sky is from the earth, and as far as the east is from the west, as far as eternity is from now, that's how great is the mercy of God. The prodigal son, he found himself in sin. He came to his father, said, "Please take me in." His father put a robe, ring, and shoes on his feet. The mercy of God, oh, it's so sweet. Heartless one, he stepped aside, but the fattened calf was already diced. The singing, dancing joy, he didn't understand, but the father still loved him even though he was bland. It's the mercy, of God. It's the mercy, of God. Do you know why the stone was rolled away? Do you know why he sent us to the world? Do you know why we gather in his name? It's the mercy, the mercy of God. It's the mercy, the mercy of God. As far as the sky is from the earth, and as far as the east is from the west, as far eternity is from now, that's how great is the mercy of God. It's the mercy, the mercy of God. It's the mercy, the mercy of God. And the people of God said,